Choice 1, toll free line, 1-800-295-1188, or 411-8, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 17th of April, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David Ray.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. The very exciting news is at the 12 o'clock hour, the tireless Dave Enright has actually scored an interview. We'll have the great Adam Curry calling in. Oh, I see. This is the guy we're talking to.
Yeah.
We're talking to Glenn Starchman. This is very exciting. He's the CEO of NetMusic, which is one of the online music companies, the largest online source of legal independent music. We're going to talk a little bit about file sharing and all the stuff that's involved in that. And they allow legal file sharing.
Adam,
great.
Adam Curry, I'm still waiting to hear back from. He, went on vacation, and I've emailed him, and I'm still waiting for him to get back to me on that. That's still in the works. But, yeah, in light of what has transpired this week, I think this would be a good gentleman to have on.
Yeah, Glenn Starchman, the CEO of NetMusic. Oh, this is very exciting. I don't know what I thought I was reading, but it apparently went in one eye and out the other.
I get to hear one sad bit of news for me and my neighbor.
Uh-oh. I'm opening him.
You know the renowned Donuts Delight?
Oh.
They've been around
for... It's time for you to move again.
47 years. I know. There goes the neighborhood.
There goes your neighborhood. It's the only reason you moved there, wasn't
it? Yeah! I mean...
next to them, and now they're gone.
I mean, Lansbury was even talking about them, I guess, on Friday. And a friend of mine that goes there quite a bit says, yep, the old man wants to get out of the business. It's only 7 doors down from me to walk there on a given day.
So you can get your exercise, you can walk to the donut store.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense. So you can, right.
Works for me!
Yep.
Right. If there's anybody listening to the Shoutcast the streaming thing, do me a favor and let us know how it sounds. I'm trying to fix it. There are 4 people on it right now. I'm trying to fix the overdrive and the problem that I've been having with that. I'm not entirely certain what's working because the controls on this thing are just not that good. But we'll see what we get. So please call in and let me know if the Shoutcast, if the streaming thing is working, not working.
Or whatever. How it sounds good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, who knows. At any rate, the thing that I want to talk about this week goes along with what we're going to be talking about with Mr. Starchman later on. Now, is it Strachman, which it says here, or Starchman, which it says here?
That's what was confusing to me.
Okay, I'll believe Strachman.
Yep.
I believe Strachman. This is from their public relations.
Yeah.
Spelled it.
Yeah.
We'll ask him when he gets here, but I'll go with Strachman right now. As you may have heard, a number of people across the country, the FBI raided a number of schools for people who've been illegally downloading music. Locally, RIT was one of them. They had 25 kids here. Together at the 18 schools, 25 kids at each school, they actually have downloaded approximately 750,000 CDs worth of music.
Wow.
And I'm not entirely certain. I believe that they were actually hit for serving them back out again rather than download. But
that's
at any rate...
It's easier to catch the folks that are opening their machines.
Exactly. The reality is when you're on the Internet, you're absolutely wide open. And this is going to bring up again all the Yahoos who say, oh, it's not stealing at all because I wouldn't have bought it anyway. It is stealing. Get over it.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, whether you want to steal music, I don't care. That's between you and your consenting adult computer. But don't lie to me, and certainly don't lie to yourself. It's theft, and admit it's theft, and just go from there. You know, if you want to steal, steal, but don't pretend it isn't stealing.
Yeah.
At any rate, there were a whole lot of people that were hit, and I'm not saying that none of us have ever downloaded a song illegally, but it's like I'm saying, you know, it's illegal when you do it.
Now, they're not holding the school responsible, are they?
No, they don't seem to be. Not at all. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
As the IT director.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm just in the College of Business. But yeah, it's an interesting question. Who do you hold responsible? You know, there's the deep pockets problem. If you're stealing music and you're on, do I sue you? And who are you? What kind of money do you have? Or do I sue your internet service provider?
For allowing it to happen.
For allowing it to happen. Because they've got the deep pockets. They're, you know,
mm-hmm.
Time Warner or Frontier or Net Zero or AOL. They've got the pockets. So why should I not be suing them? But the reality is that you know, if it were me, I would hope that I would be thought of as, if I were the ISP, I would be thought of like the phone company. I'm the carrier. When if somebody calls you, if you get an obscene phone call, give them my number. But if you get an obscene phone call, you don't sue the phone company for allowing that to go through, because they're just the carrier. They don't have anything to do with what's on the line.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, if they try to filter the content, they'll get sued.
They'll get sued. Exactly. Yeah. Right. They have no right to do that. And I would suspect that an ISP should be treated, in a sane world, an ISP would be treated the same way. Just because technically you could do it, you shouldn't do it. It's not right. And that's the kind of thing. And in terms of the music, I got to say that a lot of the independent bands that are out there, and we'll be talking to Mr. Strachman about that later, a lot of the indie bands that are out there are just phenomenal. Yeah, some of them are junk.
No
question of that.
Well, like anything else.
Exactly. You know? But a number of them are phenomenal, and they just haven't made it big. And frankly, compared to a lot of the people who are out making it big today, I like the indie band better.
Well, there's an interesting story going around, and I almost don't have the heart to see if it's true or not. But apparently there's this giant computer somewhere. And every time a song is written, this computer has been programmed with hit songs. And every time a song is written, it's sent through this program to compare it to a hit song. And does it have the qualities of a hit song? And if it does, it gets on the radio. And if it doesn't, it goes away. And that sort of means you're never going to hear anything new. And that's one of the allegations that the mass downloaders talk about, is that there's nothing good anyway, so I have to download it off the internet.
Right.
But, you know, that's no excuse.
Well, right. And the real problem, you know, people talk about, well, there's 15 songs on an album and only one of them is any good, so why would I pay all that money for the album? Well, then go to iTunes and pay a buck.
For that single song.
Yeah. That single song. You know what? A lot of people, and of course, then you get into the whole political thing, who's actually making money. We know it's not the artist.
No.
You know, Ice Cube's last album, I was just reading this morning, actually, Ice Cube's last album sold one platinum. He made a total of $30,000.
Yeah, they don't make
the sale of the entire album.
Goes to the record company.
Yeah. It goes to the record company. And, of course, it's the RIAA and the record company, the record association, that's actually doing suing the artists, except for Metallica. Are not even involved in this because they don't get any money. You know, not all of them have the Ray Charles deal.
Yeah, so then it's easier to see their point of view. We're getting so little money off the records anyway, you're stealing our little bit of money we get.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Literally, they get pennies.
Yeah, exactly. The bands make money on the tours after they pay. It's really expensive to do a tour.
Yeah.
You know, to book the venue, to book the advertising.
Yeah, and your crews and everything else, because of the special effects and the trailers that they have to
have. Talk about some of the gross revenues of a tour. You know, it made $10 million yesterday, but, you know, the band got
$5
a piece.
Yeah. Exactly, so that's the way it goes. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back from that, we will be here with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Bill, Dennis, all of you on the phone. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Just a few minutes, the great Joan Brandenburg will be delivering the news, and then we'll be back on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's good music. You're picking good music.
Yeah. Thanks.
Summer music.
I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
formerly a Beach Boy.
And hi-yo! This is Soundbite.
What do you mean formerly, you young thing?
I know, you're still a boy, maybe not at the beach.
You should have seen him, though, Tuesday night. He did a real good job. And I want to thank the RCC group, though, for having us out there. We had a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
It was a little exhausting because the day was pretty tired, too. Uh-huh. But we lasted for a little over an hour, and it was a great group of folks. And we'll be doing it again in July.
There you go.
July, we're going to be out July 11th, folks. If you want to save the date, we're going to be out at the Grease Library. At 7 o'clock on July 11th. So come on out and have some fun with us.
I have to apologize to both Dave and Rob and the folks. I got hung up with a client, got there late, but managed to make the after-meeting meeting in the parking lot.
There you go. That's,
there you go. That's really the important one. Anyway, I, of course, was sitting around in class. Our next caller is Dave, calling us all the way from down in Pennsylvania. How are you, Dave?
Greetings, gentlemen, from the beautiful Endless Mountains of Pennsylvania.
Cool. And they are endless, aren't they?
They are endless, yes. Guys, one quick question and one which you will take your time on, I hope. Quick question is this. Several weeks ago, I heard one of you fellows refer to a program which you are now running in addition to Adaware and SpyBot. The comment that I recall hearing was that the thought was that perhaps Adaware and SpyBot were not quite cutting it, and one additional program or scanning
right.
program.
And
was
the one
I did not get the name of it. Desperately need the name.
Well, there's two of them. Well, there's the one that's very popular is Hijack This.
Oh, I have that. Yeah, I know about that.
All right, but then there's
but
another
very,
one.
Hijack This is very, very dangerous if
yep.
you don't know what you're
doing.
The
other one that gets out a lot of stuff is CW Shredder.
Ah, that's it.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about that, please.
That one, again, checks for Trojans and spyware.
Okay, it's like Charlie Ware's
yeah.
Shredder.
Exactly.
Yeah, there should be a link
Country
on the
Western
on the
Shredder.
Yeah, there should be a link on the list already.
Yeah.
What happens is that some of the spyware gets so deeply ingrained in your system and in your registry that that it takes several programs to get them out.
Well, like one of them that Adaware and SpyBot wouldn't get rid of it was Home Search Assistant. And that would hang around, and, I mean, it was just junk. And it was even in your ad remove programs, and you could never remove it fully. You'd remove it, reboot, it would be back. CW Shredder actually gets rid of that program.
Guys, I appreciate that. The other one I just was hoping you might take a little second and elaborate on, I don't have as much of a question, just looking for your comments. And especially any experiences you might have. I just discovered Nlyte the other day, and I was successful in using it pretty much the second time, I was going to say the first time, to slipstream SP2 in. But, you know, it's a very interesting program. It's a free program, and I was just wondering what your experiences have been with it.
Can't really say I have one.
Nlyte?
Nlyte, yes. Are you familiar with
spell it.
With XP Lite?
Spell it, please.
Nlyte. Okay, Nlyte is a program which can be used to configure XP, for example, or Windows 2000 prior to installing it.
The Nlyte.
Whereas XP Lite configures it subsequent to installation.
Yeah, the Nlyte company is also a manufacturer of high-power semiconductor diode lasers.
Oh, no, it's not a company. It's just a guy. You're thinking of a different outfit.
Yeah, we're doing a Google search and coming up with all these different companies.
No, it's a GUI. It's from it's a GUI for permanent Windows component removal.
There you go. There you go.
And basically you can go in and say, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want the other thing. Up to a point, it works pretty well, actually. The problem is you really truly cannot remove things like Internet Explorer from the system. You can hide them, but there are components that are common in the DLLs to Internet Explorer and everything else. So what it really mostly does, I hate to say this, what it really mostly does is prevent Internet Explorer itself from coming up, the GUI portion, but the underlying components are still inside the DELs that are still loaded by the operating system.
And the thing of it is, though, is you don't want to truly get rid of all of Internet Explorer because some websites, like some of the tax ones, and that still won't show up in other browsers.
The Windows Update site won't work without IE.
I didn't even use it to remove Internet Explorer. I used it to remove all the other stuff in XP, which is just, you know, horrendous. Messenger for being one thing, and there's so much more. And
right.
I used it to slipstream.
Right, and it's also designed to be a deployment tool. So it's an interesting product. I don't know that it really actually deletes all those things. I think it hides more of them than it deletes because, like I said, there a lot of the components in things like Messenger and stuff like that are actually in the same DLLs that are used by the system.
You know, I can't really comment on it, but I can tell you that some guys are getting builds like one quarter of the normal size with it. And with a working operating system.
Right. Because you're not using a lot of the GUI stuff. Absolutely, and that all goes away. There's no question of that. But if you're looking at it now, I just want to make this plain. If you're looking at it as something that will prevent any sort of messenger-based virus from activating, it likely won't, because those components are still inside the DLLs. It doesn't remove them from the DLLs.
The libraries can't be adjusted.
Right. So while it gets rid of all of the front-end baggage, making for much smaller systems, it cannot get rid of the underlying engines.
Gotcha. I appreciate your comments, guys.
Thank you, Dave. So it's a good product. There's no question of that. But it doesn't – if the engine is embedded in the same sort of thing as something else, it's just not going to happen.
Well, that was the whole thing with Dynamic Link Libraries is to have one source for a lot of programs to utilize.
Right.
It's like on print drivers and everything else. So you, back in the old days, remember how we used to have a printer for each program? Now you install a program under Windows, and it just automatically says, oh, I'll use the Windows default printer.
Right. And so that's kind of nice. But that's you got to understand that because of the DLLs, some stuff just isn't going to go away. It can be hidden, but it's very unlikely it can be removed. Listen, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Rock on Linton, and Nina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Bob Locker talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, and there are a couple lines open, so if you've been waiting to call in, now's your time. Before we go back to the phones, Dave, you had something you wanted to talk about this week.
Oh, yeah. In the same regards to, we've been talking about this online music. And the other thing that goes right along with it, which we've been saying for a long time, and I'm still seeing a few clients do it, folks doing it, is, they've messed up their machines.
Sure.
And they want me to reinstall the stuff, and they sit there and say, oh, can you also burn XP out of this one? Well, is it on another machine? Yeah, I got it with this other machine. Well, then, no, you can't put it on this one. Well, why not? I did it with other software. No, I don't want to hear that, one. And second of all, it's illegal. Right. And that's why the prices keep going up. I mean, people complain about how expensive software is.
Right.
Well, hello, folks. It is super expensive because of folks making illegal copies and putting it out. And, I just give it to you. And then you give it to another friend.
So it's penalizing the people that are obeying the law by buying the copies they're supposed to because there's so many people copying it illegally.
And I have seen it literally, destroy other companies because, nobody was supporting them.
Right.
And if you don't get the support, you can't go into the next revision or modification that everybody would like this feature or that feature. So, I mean, anytime you bring in a CD to my shop, and I'm sure it's the same with you, Steve, your group, you see a burned CD, I'm like, sorry, no can do, will not do. It's
unless
illegal.
They can prove it's their backup copy.
No, I don't even
right. Once again, we're to the point where you're saying, look, if you want to do something illegal, do it. But don't ask the technicians to be part of your illegal thing.
Exactly. And, they can
that's just not fair to them.
Sorry. You can sit there and say, even if it's your backup, then fine. I want to still see the original.
Bring the original in its case.
Yeah, how do I know? And I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I mean, hello, I got a business to run, and that's, illegal, and you want me to participate in your, because you don't want to shell out $50 or that for a
and of course,
it's always been illegal to buy one program and put it on two machines or more, unless the software specifically says you can do that. And we were talking during the break, back in the olden days, people were complaining about Lotus 1-2-3. That was the main program everyone used, and it was $500, and people complained it was too expensive. And Lotus brought out their studies that showed for every copy they sold, there were 4 illegal copies.
Yeah,
right. So it really only cost $100, so shut up.
Right.
But it's only been in recent years that companies have started taking an active approach with product activation codes
right.
to basically enforce the laws that have already been there.
And that's the other problem with you guys. Let's say you do something illegal and conspire with the person to put this XP illegally on their machine. 90 days after you put it on, it's going to stop running because there's no activation code. Well, and then they're going to come back to you, my XP stopped working, it's your fault.
No.
You did something illegal and you got away with it for 90 days. Now you're done.
It's almost getting a little better with XP, especially on OEM machines, that they're putting the XP serial number on the computer.
So
you can't lose it anymore.
Yeah,
right?
I do that with every machine that I build. The sticker goes right on the upper right side of the case, up in the upper left-hand corner, so you can sit there and look at it.
So you know exactly which machine it's licensed for.
You ask folks to look for their old 98 disc or CD, and where it is, or the license.
Yeah, I need your license code. Well, see, I could use my CD, but I need your license code. Well, I don't have it.
Right.
Well, then you're going to have to buy a new copy. Sorry.
Well, it's just like I can use my version of XP Professional Home to reinstall it as long as you got that sticker on the side of your machine that I can, you know, I see that you had, say, XP Professional.
Because it is very common for people to misplace their disk, especially, you know, years
or
later.
They
God knows
it,
we all do it.
Or folks have driven in, say, all the way from Timbuktu, come in, and they forgot to bring the CD. As long as I can see that sticker that legitimately says what version of XP they're running, I can use my CD, but I put their code in.
Right.
And it works fine.
And that's actually a tip for people bringing their computers in for service. Find the system CDs and bring them. We may need them, we may not need them. But if we do need them and have to call you and say, please bring them in again.
Then you're porked off because I've got to make 2 trips.
It's an extra trip for the customer, and it delays getting the repair done.
Or we get another thing that we get a lot of folks doing is they bring in the laptop.
No power cord.
They leave the power cord at home.
At least I have a little better
luck
with
that. Sam's been really good about, you know, if it's a desktop, we don't need anything. Leave the keyboard.
Yeah, that's probably the single most common part in the entire computer industry is that power cord.
I tell you what, I teach at RIT, and every week when I go into the classroom, I'll find somebody's power cord.
Yep.
I've got a collection. You guys should come and look through it. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We got Jody on a cell phone, Joe from Rochester, and a bunch of other people on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We have Joe from Rochester, New York on the line. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Yeah, first of all, enjoy your show, even though you guys are a little bit way over my head. But here's the real...
We're over our head.
This is a real simple question. I hear so many stories about whether to turn the computer on or off, or leave it on or off at night.
And you're going to hear 3 more
what's
now.
What's the real answer?
There is no real answer. It's 6 and 1 half a dozen the other. If you turn your computer on and off a lot, you'll wear it out by the heating and cooling cycles and the mechanical spin up and spin down. If you leave your computer on all the time, you'll wear it out because it's on all the time and the power running through it.
What I usually tell folks to do is the first person in the morning turns the computer on, you know, leave it on, turn the monitor off.
Yeah,
last person at night shuts the whole system down. Instead of this, you know, I turn it on in the morning and use it for a few minutes to check my email. I shut it down. An hour or 2 hours later, all of a sudden the wife comes along, starts it up, checks her email, boom, shuts it down. Later on, the kids come home, they want to get on it to do their stuff, they shut it down. You know, that's constant wear and tear on it, whereas if you just turn it on in the morning, turn off the monitor.
Turn it on when you first use it, whether it's morning or whatever.
But when you walk away from it, just shut off the monitor, so the next person just can hit the button, the system's on, and then the last person at night shuts it completely down.
It's almost become more of an environmental issue. There's 200 million computers sitting there being used or running and not being used, wasting electricity that some power plant is polluting the air to make for you.
So the monitors are the biggest power draw. So if you're not using it, turn them on. It's the CRT, especially CRT monitors. That's one reason the LCDs are getting to be so popular now too, is that they're very much lower power draws.
Right.
So turn
the
monitor
off. And they go into sleep mode if the system goes
right.
into.
And that's why most of the monitors have this energy saver built into it now.
Right.
Yep. To go to sleep, cut down on the power consumption.
Well, Joe, I hope
okay, thanks a lot, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I hope we've confused you thoroughly.
The big annoyance.
Well, I think you answered my question.
Yeah, the big annoyance is when you get to it in the morning, you have to wait for it to turn on, and that's what people don't like.
But see,
so turn it on, then get your cup of coffee.
Right.
And by the time you're done, it'll be ready for you.
Exactly.
Or newer computers. I know the newer Macs can. There's probably something sim for Windows. You can schedule it to turn itself on at 9 a.m. and or 8:55. So when you show up at work at 9, it's on, and your mail has been downloaded, and it's ready for you.
Yeah. I mean, us at the shop, we leave them on 24/7 because...
Right, because you need to.
Yeah,
right. If you've got a server, of course, you're going to leave it on. But just generally speaking, it certainly doesn't hurt with the newer machines to leave them on 24/7 in terms
off,
of...
We turn off all the monitors.
The important thing is if you're going to leave it on, you've got to make sure that it's got a lot of air around it for circulation.
Minor open test.
Right. Yeah. So you've got no problem. But if you've got it stuck in a corner under a desk or something, then it can overheat.
And then you want to have a good UPS on it, not just a surge protector, an actual UPS to keep the power clean coming into it, because you never know what's going to happen at night. In fact, we're going to be getting into thunderstorm season pretty soon now.
That's right. And we should tell people definitely all about the thunderstorm problem. If you're going to have a thunderstorm, you should not only turn your machines off, but unplug them.
Unplug the power, unplug the modem, unplug the cable modem or DSL modem.
Just unplug the whole thing from the wall.
Well,
get it on gang strip.
Right.
Well, but then you still got to unplug your modem cable, your all the other stuff that's plugged in.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
It's the
Ethernet coming in from your cable modem or the Ethernet coming in from your DSL modem that wouldn't be on your power strip. You have to unplug those too, just to be safe.
Our next caller, Raphael from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Raphael.
Oh, hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question, and probably I'm maybe paying the price for not procrastinating. But I hear you guys talking about changing from Internet Explorer to Firefox and all the other programs.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I have Windows Me.
Right.
Which I know you guys, I learned from you that a good system.
Yeah, nice.
And the other day, I was trying to up the Windows update.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow my connection got lost and because I have dial-up.
Yep.
And now I came back on the internet. The programs work fine. The only thing is when I go to the help section and try to open another window, there's a message that comes out saying something about an ActiveX control on the page might be unsafe to interact with other parts of the page. And do you want to allow this interaction? But when I have the updated Norton antivirus, and basically ran, I did the one-button checkup, and it said basically the Microsoft share section of your Windows registry refers to one or more missing files.
Sounds like you got some spyware on there.
It also could be that one of the updates was partially installed
when it failed. If what happens is when you do an update, it erases the old file and puts in the new file.
Oh.
And it may be that that's what happened. So you might want to do some sort of, under Windows ME, can he do an SFC?
SFC.
System File Checker.
From
the run command.
Go to Start, go to Run, type SFC, which is short for System File Checker. Hit enter and let it do its thing.
Or he can do a restore to a previous date and time.
If he's got that set up.
Yeah.
But those are the two things that you're going to have to do, Raphael. Listen, we are going to take a little news break. I think news is important. We have the magnificent Joan Brandenburg in here to do the news. And when we come back on the other side of the news, we've got more people on the line, and we're going to be talking to NetMusic CEO Glenn Strachman. And I think it's going to be a terrific interview, so... we'll be back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And you know that sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
Then here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We've got Debbie on the line from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Debbie. What's your question?
Hi. Well, I've got an eighth grader who thinks that he would like to be a computer animator someday. driving me crazy, thinking that our computer is way too slow when it's running Windows 98. And there are things that we can't do with it.
Like everything.
Some programs that, yeah, right. Yeah. And a camera that doesn't work with 98 and so on and so forth. He desperately wants a new computer. However, I'm thinking, should we wait a little while? It's been a while since anything new has come out. I wondered if you were kind of up to speed on what may be coming out in the near future, because I can't be replacing computers every couple of years.
Well, a couple of years is a long time.
But
there's going to be a new computer. There's going to be a new system out in a month.
No matter
when you buy it, there's going to be something new in a month.
But right now, though, as far as the CPU end, that's settled down until next year.
Yeah,
you're not going to see any faster CPU chips coming out until next year. So right now, it's more or less buy a system anytime, because the minute you buy one, and the minute you buy it, you're going to see it cheaper probably the following week. So you have to just sit down, decide what you want, and if you want, give me a call. Because I like to sit there and instead of saying that generic computer is right for everybody, I like to sit there and say, okay, what are you going to do with it? And then make recommendations, whether you go with me, whether you go with one of the big companies. I don't really care. I just like to give folks advice on what to get and not overpay or, get things that they don't need. I had one client wound up getting this whole media set. And there's no way in God's green moon that she'll even do half of it.
Right.
But she's got it all. Yeah, I mean, it's huge multimedia screen and everything else.
There's always something better coming, and if you wait, you'll never buy it.
Yeah,
so it's basically, talk to someone to see exactly what's going to be right for you, and go ahead and get it.
And I can't believe you've jumped on the Mac bandwagon here.
I was waiting for you to do it.
Thank you very much. Because the reality is, if what you want to do is computer animation, it's very difficult to do it better on any platform than a Mac. The Mac is the place to be for computer animation.
And graphics in general.
Video, all of that stuff. That's where you need to be. It's the hardware is really tuned to the software, and the software tuned to the hardware, so it's a full package. One of the great video editing suites is available on the Mac. The melding of the video and the audio and the external camera and all that other stuff, way better on the Mac than on the PC.
So I'm sure if you talk to either Steve or I, offline sometime, give us a call at our businesses, and we can make recommendations, and then you can sit down and decide what's going to fit your needs, not only for now, for the next couple of years.
And since you're going to be changing from Windows 98, anything you buy is going to be so different, you're going to have to relearn.
Yep.
So don't worry about the problem of relearning having to learn Macintosh, because you're going to have to relearn Windows anyway to go to XP.
Right. Yep. And then there's the myth of it costing too much, and that's by the time you build up a PC to do all the stuff that a Mac does anyway, it's the same price, so that works. Listen, we are very honored at the moment. The indie music scene, the independent music scene, I know that when I was a kid it meant, a bunch of people playing really badly in their garages annoying their parents, but now, nowadays, it's a real thing, and we are honored to have Mr. Glenn Starchman, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Net Music Entertainment, which you can find on the web at netmusic.com, and they sell independent digital music and movies over the internet. It's very inexpensive, very high quality stuff, and he's consented to join us here today. Mr. Starchman, welcome to Soundbites.
How are you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Hanging in there.
Okay.
Now you're way out in Redmond, or Seattle, Washington?
Yeah, we're actually based in Edmond, just north of Seattle.
Okay, so it's only like...
How's the weather there?
Right now it's a little bit overcast. That's to be expected.
Yeah, it rains, 364 days of the year, is it, in Seattle?
Yeah, there's actually less rain in Seattle on a per-inch basis than there is in New York City, just so you know.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, here in Rochester, we get 56 days of sunshine a year, and don't forget it. That's the actual statistic. 56 days of sunshine a year.
When you add all the hours up.
Yeah, and most of
you guys are upstate.
Yeah, we're on the north coast of the United States, right at Lake Ontario.
Excellent.
Where they define summer as, you know, a couple bad days of ice fishing.
So tell us about Net Music and what it means to the independent artist and all that stuff.
Well, it's all about exposure. You know, we have companies, the obvious ones, Apple's, iTunes, you know, Reels, Rhapsody's, you know, Roxio's, Napster, that focus on artists that everyone already knows about. They focus on the Britneys, and they focus on, you know, the Black Eyed Peas and bands that everyone knows.
Right.
Where what they're lacking is they're not showing the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of bands out there that are very much worthy of having, you know, public exposure. And so at Net Music, we try to focus people on these deserving acts and try to give them the exposure that they deserve.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier in the show, that the music industry has sort of become so compartmentalized, is if you don't fit a certain mold, you're never going to get on the radio, and if you don't get on the radio, you're not going to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the explosion of the Internet, to let bands like that get heard.
And these are, I think we should point out, because we were just talking about that, how, you know, when I was a kid, an indie band was basically really loud, really bad cover bands in somebody's garage annoying their parents. These are professional quality groups. Just because they're not signed by a major record label doesn't mean they aren't high quality.
Oh, absolutely. We have things in our catalog, which is from Koch Entertainment. So we have a lot of the hip-hop guys.
Right.
We have the Masterpiece and, you know, names that actually are known.
Well, you got Little Richard and Sarah Vaughan, Patsy Cline.
Absolutely.
Charlie Daniels.
I was going to say Queens of the Stone Age. I'd know them.
Like
by definition, these guys, you know, these releases that we do are called independent simply because they weren't put out, you know, by a major label.
Right.
So when we say independent music, we don't necessarily mean, you know, your definition, the garage band.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out the irony of an independent label. By definition,
right.
Doesn't that mean you're not independent?
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Well, but
we have a few artists that are not on the label, but they're pretty few and far between.
Right. Well, these look, you know, these are all clearly high-quality things. And you're right. Independent used to mean bad, and now independent simply means not part of the machine, or at least
Correct.
For that one album. You know,
it's the alternative, which is the phrase that I've always despised.
Right. And it's now pretty common in the movie industry. You know, you get the names that you all know. They'll make the summer blockbuster, the tentpole movies, and then they'll go off and do a couple of indie films.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think they're bad actors in the indie films. They're just not films by the major studios. And that's really what independent has come to mean in the music industry.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Get your Sarah Vaughan who'll do a hot album for a major label, and then she'll turn around and do something for her soul, for herself,
exactly.
On an indie label.
One of the things that we've had to deal with is people believe that if something is not out on a major label or coming out of a major studio, that the quality is bad. And that's certainly not the case.
Right.
And in fact, I might be able to make an argument that says the reverse is true.
Because I agree with you.
Yeah, especially now with the computer software you can get on your regular personal computer, you can do a really highly produced, professional-sounding record in your garage.
Right. Well, but more importantly, when these people do an indie album, they're doing it for their own soul. So they're more invested in the music. They're more invested in making it a work of love rather than a work of, yeah, this will sell. And so you often, I think Mr. Starchman is right, you often end up with a better product.
And the other thing, though, is in which he's trying to do, too, though, which is the big premise, given what's transpired this week with a lot of the 18 or 19 universities being nailed for illegally sharing of music.
And one of those here in Rochester.
Right. Well, these you pay for these albums, but you pay significantly less than you would out on the real out on the thing. And,
yeah,
why
don't you explain your business?
Yeah, please
model for,
tell us a little
listeners.
Bit about your business.
Oh, Net Music, I assume.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, we're much in the same vein of Apple's iTunes. You know, we're in the business of actually selling digital music, but we've also expanded that into digital video. And what we're doing is we're giving an alternative to the peer-to-peer networks. In other words, well, let me, if you don't mind, I'd like to segue into that just briefly.
Right, sure. Whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. You know, I see there are four different types of peer-to-peer users, okay? They're what I call the innocent, and those are people who are just curious or they don't really know that it's wrong or, you know, whatever. They're basically harmless, okay?
Right.
Then there's the scavengers, and those are the people that go out and they're looking for items that they can't find in a record store or on iTunes or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the collector, and those are the people that are obsessive-compulsive about acquiring content. And mm-hmm. finally, there's the freeloaders, and these are the dangerous people. These are the people who believe that they have a God-given right to free music.
Yeah. Okay?
There's not a lot we can do about the freeloaders. It's a belief system that we can't deal with. Okay,
right.
We're not going to be able to change.
Exactly. But as for the other three, we can give them content that they quote can't find. Okay, we can give them a price point that actually makes it easier for them to actually pay for something than to, you know, use a peer-to-peer system.
Right.
And the last thing we can give them actually is quality, you know, a guaranteed quality.
Right.
On the peer-to-peer systems, there is no guaranteed quality. You know, at NetMusic,
right.
We do. We have guaranteed quality.
They run the risk of also picking up a virus or who knows what else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or the wrath of the RIAA. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
which
there,
we
there
certainly
is a point
see.
Where you can make a very compelling argument. People, hey, it's better for you, and it's better for the artist, which is also a very important thing, for you to purchase the song on a legitimate music service. And that's the direction in which we're moving.
Right.
I don't mean we as NetMusic, I mean we as a society.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are, and in order to entice people to enter into that fold, we're using a lot of new artist discovery. You know, for example, hey, you might come to NetMusic looking for Eminem, but I have, you know, 50 other artists that I think are the same caliber, if not better, than Eminem, and that you probably might really enjoy. And guiding users towards those
mm-hmm.
artists.
Nice.
Yeah,
so
the whole thing to me is all about new music discovery, and that's an excuse that many peer-to-peer users will say. You know, they'll say, we're using peer-to-peer because we can find all this stuff.
Yeah.
If you take away that
excuse. Like we were saying before, just the main label, biggies, where other folks, you know, like you say, there's other good groups by maybe not as well-known labels, but these folks want to be able to find those also, and you're offering this opportunity to the folks to go to your website and find those others.
Correct.
Yeah, and I love that, you know, I can buy an album for $10 or $3 or whatever the individual album is, and then I can buy an individual track for that same 99-cent price point,
right.
And I can listen to it ahead of time, and then you can see other albums by the same artist, and it's a great-looking service. It's at netmusic.com, and I think it's a terrific service, and I'm very impressed. And, of course, it's not just music. It's videos. It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, the video service, our full video on demand service, is actually launching May 15th.
Ah.
But we currently have some very, what I find very interesting videos up on the site that are for free.
Yep.
Mostly, late 70s punk rock stuff. But it's for the people who are into it, they'll love it.
Exactly. And more stuff will be coming out, so you need to watch netmusic.com. Mr. Starchman, I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you guys.
For joining us. Again, folks, go to netmusic.com. It's I know you hate the word alternative, but it's an alternative to the to stealing music. And it's a bunch of stuff you normally wouldn't be exposed to if you're a child of media. And there's some terrific stuff up here.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you, sir.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Appreciate
Keep up the good fight. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me and Nick Francesco, and all of your calls on the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that would be Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Ender.
And
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. And before we get back to the phones, I would like to
ask Steve what he'd like to rant about. Talk about today. I'm just confused.
Well, actually, there's some interesting things happening in the Apple world coming out. Apple finally officially announced a release date for OS 10.4, codenamed Tiger, and that's April 29th. Friday night at 6 p.m., and we're actually embargoed from selling it or displaying it before then.
Embargoed
on threat of losing our Apple deal.
What is it, the Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince? I mean, who cares?
Well, apparently they want big excitement, you know, lines waiting up at 6 o'clock, and we see it here at the local music stores. You know, you can't buy this record until Tuesday. So Monday night at midnight, Tuesday morning, you know, the record store opens up again, and you can go buy the record. Then you go home. Go to sleep and listen to it in the morning.
I got to break in and say about Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. My daughter is so into this whole go to the store at midnight, order your copy in advance, wait in line. I think it's more getting up to stay up till midnight than it is to get the book. But she was so into it the last time that we were like the first people in line to order it this time.
Well, thank God Apple picked to 6 p.m.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Apple.
You don't have people making bacon and eggs for sausage and eggs for everybody. Yeah.
So we're going to be having a little release party for Tiger. I've already spoken with the zoo about having a tiger come down. And
they said no, I hope.
Well, there was a cool head prevailing somewhere. Maybe a tiger cub.
Tiger cub. Well, no, they said the tiger would go home full.
Yeah.
No one else would.
Maybe you could hire somebody in a Tigger costume.
Tigger, yeah, we're thinking that. But they already used Tigger as a code name. And 10.2 server was Tigger.
So?
But, well, because that code name was never publicized because Disney would sue them.
Right.
So you know, they're concerned about copyright.
You got a connection,
Nick. I do?
Yeah, RIT.
We got the Tigers.
They have a Tiger mascot.
Yeah,
that's something to think in. But back with, when 10.2 came out, its code name was Jaguar. And we heard about a store in California that did get a Jaguar.
That's California, though.
That was California. And
nice
it was,
big car.
Well, it was we got cars here in Rochester. But in California, with all the movie and TV industries, they were able to get a performing Jaguar for commercials and brought it to their party. But now, so in 2 weeks, April 29th, Tiger will be released. And there's been some interesting stories around the internet about I'm sick of these stupid puns. Tiger is going to be released, or hear the tiger roar. You know, does the tiger have teeth? Apple claws out the tiger.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially right after April Fool's, with all the stupid and sometimes quite amusing
right.
April Fool's jokes. We're now getting these pun ridden headlines for all these tiger jokes, and so people are starting to point out some of the Microsoft jokes as well with Longhorn, especially from the Apple world. Longhorn put out to pasture. The Longhorn Stampede. But not for a couple of years yet.
Right, long wait.
Long wait. Yep. So it's interesting to see how the two companies sort of market against each other, and Apple is known for their big splashy parties, and they just announced their quarterly results last week. Apple sold 1 million computers last quarter, brought them up to number 4 in the world. They jumped over Toshiba, which was a big thing for them. But more importantly, and actually more interestingly, they sold 5 million iPods.
Well, and now there's a survey out on one of these things that says, did you buy a Mac after, did you switch to a Mac after buying an iPod?
And that's one of Apple's new marketing campaigns, is that they're selling millions of iPods to Windows users and hoping that what's being called the iPod halo effect, that the Windows users will see how well designed and how slick the iPod is and maybe get a Mac.
Well, and that's the big thing. Back in the days when I sold Apples, everybody loved the idea. But it was very hard to convince your boss not to buy an IBM.
Yeah, the old slogan, no one ever got fired for buying IBM.
Exactly. And as time has moved on, the Mac has gotten slicker and slicker and slicker, but businesses still are deep in the Windows culture. The IBM halo effect is still in effect. And now, if people see the quality of an iPod and see the quality of the user interface, the thought and care that went into it, because no matter what you think of other people's music players, they're harder to use. They just are. Yeah. You know, the one thing
tiny
I don't
buttons.
Like about
I hate
my
tiny buttons.
Well, and the front end, the way the front end works, is a little weird. But the thing the one thing I don't like about my iPod is I use it mostly to listen to books on tape.
Right.
And it's very hard to bookmark the middle of a song, of a track.
It remembers where you left off when it goes to sleep, so when you wake it up again, it plays right there. But if you want to jump around different books...
Right, exactly. You can't do that. So I can't be listening to one thing, go back to another, come back to the first one, because there's no bookmark.
Yeah.
But that's an aberrant use. I mean, they don't really...
Well, and we're seeing more and more people getting into books on tape. Can't call it that anymore. Books on disc.
Audio books,
right. So we're expecting Apple to come out with a better way to bookmark longer tracks like that.
I hope so. And, well, of course, it won't be retroactive. Well,
we're also seeing that a lot of books, audiobooks, have started out just being copies of the tape. So your book came on 15 tapes, so your audiobook is 15 segments.
Right.
Which is actually a little better for the audio player, because then you end a segment and can stop.
Right, exactly.
Talk about people getting on the bandwagon, though, for the MP3 players and all that. I just noticed, because they had a big sale this weekend, but Harley-Davidson, believe it or not, now came out.
Yep.
Literally, they've got it set up, this device that you can put on your bike, and it's right near the handles, and it's an MP3 player. And it replaces this one piece, and you can hook it up, wire it in, wire right into the speaker system on some bikes, and you just put your memory card in there, and away you go. So you can do it, you know, whether it's MP3s or books on tape.
Right.
You can be tooling along and listening.
Right. And, of course, we're hoping to have the gentleman on our show and interview him. Guy's making MP3 players that look like Pez dispensers.
Yes.
And you can even put the heads from the real Pez dispensers.
And the feet
on the MP3 players. Very cool.
We're working with a company that's coming out one that looks like Gumby.
Cool.
With the little arms and the whole bit. But we're seeing a lot of car companies are building MP3 player, you know, links into it. And a lot of them are doing specific iPod links. But it's getting to be common now for your car stereo to have an aux jack so you can plug in your MP3 player. And a lot of that, mostly the higher end cars at the moment, the radio controls, you know, forward and next to control your iPod so you can go next song, forward song, and whatnot.
I know for a fact one of the places like Radio Shack, because most cars have a cassette player. And then you can plug in your MP3 player.
Yeah, there's two main ways to get your MP3 audios into your car stereo, either the cassette adapter, or we're now seeing a lot of cars not coming with cassette players because they've got CD players in them. So there's FM transmitters, a little tiny FM radio you put on your MP3 player on your iPod, and it broadcasts on an FM signal. So then you tune your car radio.
The coolest thing is my darling wife got me something called a sound bug. And it's got
we've seen those.
Sucker thing. And you stick it on to a flat surface, in my case, like the window next to me, and it turns the window into a speaker.
The whole surface area vibrates.
So I can listen while I'm driving, and the window next to me is the speaker. So it's right. The funny thing is people outside can hear it, too. That's pretty weird.
On the other side of the window.
And it actually works. And I have one. It works great. I lick and stick it. It's a little sucker thing, like the end of a suction cup. Thank you. And it's a little suction cup, and you lick it and stick it and plug it in and go. And it's so cool.
Yeah.
Just the cool factor alone.
Yeah.
You got to remember to take it off before you roll the window down. But other than that, you're good. I think you're good.
So that halo effect is happening in other industries too. We've talked about having backup of your data here. You know, we almost preach it religiously, especially now that we're on Sunday.
Right.
But back up your data. But what I've been seeing a lot more of, and I know Dave does too. When a customer brings in their computer for repair, it doesn't matter if they have a backup of their data. Their computer's gone.
Yeah.
And they can't work. And especially if you only have one computer in your business, and if that computer's gone, if your business stops, you need a backup computer, not just a backup of your data. So we're actually starting to sell a lot more people on the Mac Mini. You know, that starts at $500. It's got a 40-gig hard drive in it. You back up all your data on the Mini. And it's a backup computer as well.
Right.
So if your main computer fails, you just plug in your backup computer.
Right. Right.
Not just backup data, but a backup computer.
And, of course, people need to start worrying now about things like iPods and all the music players with 60 and 80 gig hard drives in them for corporate theft.
Right.
I can take your whole database with me and plug it in my ears and walk out, and nobody even knows I've got it. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Sal from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Sal. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. Actually, I do have a little information for you.
Excellent.
I can't recall the program off the top of my head. I'll have to email you. But there's a third-party program that will convert the regular AAC MP3 files into bookmarkable files. I think M4As are called. So if you're looking at bookmarking files like a song to listen or audio CDs that came off a CD and you import into your iPod.
Yeah,
you can add bookmarks.
Oh, how cool is that? Yeah, please send me that. Now, will they still play in my iPod?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, M4As will be accepted. It's just you'll be able to stop it right there and come back to it, even though you go back to another song and play something else and come back. Once you come back to that song, it starts off just like the Audible.
Oh, yeah, that's the model. Oh, yeah. How cool is that?
Exactly.
Yeah, please email me that. I'd love to hear that. Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome.
Cool. Oh, that's a great thing.
And
thank you, Sal.
Yeah, Sal the iPod guy.
Sal the iPod guy. There you go.
If you want to know about any iPod hack or any iPod gadget, Sal knows.
Sal's your guy. That's what we like to hear.
Yep.
I got to tell you that I use my iPod all the time. I listen to a lot of books on tape. I love music, but I love the fact that I can take books with me and read them, you know, particularly when I'm on a longer trip.
Basically, you change it from an M4A to an M4B, and the B format is bookmarkable.
B for bookmark, A for audio.
Ooh.
B for bookmark.
C
is no longer for cookie.
Yeah.
But that's another story entirely. See, you don't have young children, or B, you have a real interest in puppetry. But I love my iPod. And, you know, you can't go anywhere without seeing people. Now, of course, I'm on the RIT campus, so I'm, you know, every time
you're
I walk, everybody that I see has little white headphones on.
There was actually a story that came out of Microsoft a few months ago that 80% of Microsoft employees have an iPod.
Sure.
Which is kind of embarrassing for Microsoft, since their software doesn't work on the iPod. So it got to be a big thing in Microsoft is that you had to replace your Apple earphones, the white earbuds that everyone recognizes, with something else.
Right. Well, I've done that, and it's only because my ears are, like, malformed anyway, outside and in. But I can't wear the earbuds. They're incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, we've seen there's two classes of earphones. There's the earbuds, there's a company that makes one called Ear Jam. It's a bigger rubber tip that you just jam harder
in your
ear.
Never buy anything called Ear Jam.
But it
I don't care what you say.
The harder you stick it in your ear, the more it cancels out exterior noise, so it sounds better. But there's a lot of people that don't like stuff sticking in your ear, so then we've got the outside the ear but clip over the top of the ear earphones.
That's what I have.
And then there's the traditional over the head earphone. What
in fact,
call headphones.
I bought two sets of those because my daughter stole my first set.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad, these are great. They'll work on my iPod, won't they? And I made the stupid mistake of saying, yes, they will. They're working on mine. And the next thing I knew, they were gone.
Yeah.
And so I had to go buy more.
Well, I like these custom fit ones that we use here at the studio.
They're a little molded.
Right. But that's one of your only, and it's
well,
they're stereo.
Yeah, but you could probably get them molded for both, I would think.
Sure.
Sure.
But, yeah, but it's
right
the stereo.
Right.
I mean, you don't. Well, if you're going to listen in the car, you either need no headphones or you need just one in the ear thing because you really shouldn't be running around driving without.
Isn't that illegal anyways?
Yeah.
I suspect it is. You can certainly listen to the audio, but you can't do it with headphones on.
But there's also an interesting social issue happening now, and I've heard people talk both sides of it now. New York City has gotten a lot quieter, especially on the subways. All the extraneous noise is gone as people are listening to their iPods and music players. Broken with the occasional screaming into the cell phone. But the opposite side of that is people aren't talking to each other anymore. They're all sort of stuck in their own zone.
Yep.
So you have to get a headphone splitter to let people listen to your headphones, too.
Now, don't forget, I lived in New York City for a number of years, and there really aren't that many people in New York I really wanted to talk to.
Yeah. Well, that's another place.
Let me rant for a minute. I want to rant about the cell phones that are speakerphone cell phone things.
So you don't hold it up to your ear anymore.
I don't care about your conversation. I simply don't care. Don't share with me. I don't like you well enough, and I'm not concerned about you enough to listen to both, much less annoying one side of your cell phone conversation. Now I have to hear both sides of a conversation I don't care about. And you have to yell to be heard to begin with, so now I'm forced to listen.
Well, does yelling mean that the person at the other end can hear any better?
Well, you're right.
Right.
So we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick, Gil's on the line, all of you on Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
when you wake up with Beth and Chet.
Today, the series finale for the Yankees and the Orioles. Coverage of Major League Baseball follows Soundbites at 1, only on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you know what? We're amusing ourselves, and that's
Our
really what counts
here.
Our
voice guy has a lisp.
So only got, on one name.
Only on one name.
Well, he's got a lisp on my name. He's got a hiccup on my name on one of the earlier ones.
Apparently, it's all about you.
Yeah.
He's some guy. Who is this guy? He's like a
natural voice.
He's the voice of, like, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
All right, just like you don't believe my friend.
I don't believe you have a friend named Harry Leg. What kind of a name is that?
Well, it's his sister Peg we're not sure about.
Exactly. Our next caller is Gil from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Gil.
Hi, guys.
Is the lake thawed out yet?
I'm sorry?
Is the lake thawed out
yet? Well, actually, I'm sitting in the car down here waiting for my wife who's antique shopping. So,
cool.
It's antique season. Yeah. Rabbit season, duck season, antique season.
It's time to shoot something.
I'm going broke while I wait. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I heard you mentioning the new 10.4. I have a fleet of PCs, but I'm about to buy, I was thinking about buying a Mini Mac, and I'm wondering what the... you might be able to just briefly tell us what the upgrade strategy is, or should I wait for the operating system to show up on the Mini before I buy it, et cetera.
At the moment, if you buy a Mac after April 12th, which was last week when they made the announcement, you'll be able to get the 10.4 upgrade disk for $10. So it will still come with 10.3, which is the current version. So it's nothing that's going to hold you back from buying a Mac now. It will probably be a couple of months before they get 10.4 rolled into the production line, so the machines are coming with 10.4 pre-installed.
Because they got to get rid of everything in the pipeline.
Right.
But at least you get the CD for $10, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, well, the way they've done it in the past, although past performance is no guarantee of future whatever, that slogan.
Right.
The way they've done it in the past, for the next couple of months, after 10.4 is released, there'll be a 10.4 CD in the box. 10.3 on the hard drive and a 10.4 CD in the box already. And if you don't have a CD in the box, then you can get the one for $10. And eventually, when they retool their production lines, they'll put 10.4 on the computer itself.
Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah. One of the most interesting new features on it is something they're calling Spotlight. And they've made the analogy that it's a lot easier to go to the Internet and go to a Google page and find information than it is to find a document on your hard drive.
Truth.
I wrote a document about penguins 2 months ago. Where is it? And thank you, Rob. No. So this new technology called Spotlight basically indexes everything on your computer. All of your documents, all of the metadata. So if you save an email, you save a web page, all
I
the
think
metadata.
We might have lost Gil.
Maybe.
Gil, are you still there?
Cell
That's
phone.
What I thought
I think
it was.
Your cell phone cut out.
I hope.
Yeah, so the Spotlight technology is going to be able to let you find anything on your hard drive instantly. So you type in Penguin, and every email that you ever mentioned the Penguins in, every Word document, every Excel doc, any document you typed about, talked about, or wrote about, I guess, Penguins, will pop up in the Find window. So finding things on your computer has become really annoying.
Yeah, it has. It has. Our next caller is Shimmy from Rochester, New York. Welcome.
Hey, hello, guys.
Hi, how close was I to pronouncing your name?
Yeah, you got it right.
I got it right.
You got it right, no problem. Hey, listen, a question for you.
Sure.
It's a computer question. I finally got myself a real registered copy of XP.
Excellent.
Right, so that I'm all legal now. The only problem was is I had this disk of my recording software for my band, Sonar 2.0. And now it every time I try to install a program, it asks me for DirectX 8.1. So I went to the website and got the latest version of DirectX 9.0C, something like that, and loaded it down. But when I go into DirectX with DX Dialog, it still says that my programs are all at version 5.03, and it won't allow me to load this program.
You probably need an update to Sonar so it knows how to use the current version of DirectX.
Yeah.
Looks like Sonar 4 has been purchased by Cakewalk.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, the problem is you've got to update Sonar. Many people, and I hate this, many people, when they originally wrote these things, hardwired a version number into their software. So it's looking for one thing and finding something that's bigger and saying, well, it must be the only large one I know about.
It doesn't know how to deal with it.
And it doesn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, do you have DirectX 8 installed? If no, then I won't work.
Right.
Here's what happens when I go to load the program. And, I have to say that this is a disk that a friend gave me, so it's not a registered copy. Is that could be a problem also?
Absolutely, it could be a problem. Okay. You really don't want to admit that, by the way, in public.
Okay.
But the reality is that, unfortunately, you're going to have to upgrade.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm just going to have to bend down and just buy a registered copy.
I'm sorry.
We're going to take a look at some of the other audio programs. We've been playing with Audacity here, Nick and I, and it's free.
Yeah.
Which
it's
is
a great
cool.
product. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of moments with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nina Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Zogby. It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco. I'm Dave Fedrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Really, you guys are missing the best part of the show.
We have too much fun off air.
It's true. This is Soundbites. Before we do anything else, I do want to talk about our website. That's soundbites.org. Bites with a Y. Francis would like me to remind you, we do a poll every week. Last week's poll was about Windows Service Pack, XP Service Pack 2. 455 of you voted, making it number 15 on the all-time hit list. Thank you. The vast majority of you, 53%. That's a mandate right there, said yes. Yes, you had indeed installed it. 25% of you said no, and 22% of you, are 101 people, said I don't use Windows XP. This week's poll is about taxes. We just did our taxes, the Ides of April. We just passed those. And so the question was, I did my taxes this year, and the choices were manually, in a spreadsheet, using a tax prep program, using some other program, I used an accountant and with a random number generator.
I
want to apologize to all of those of you who are listening who are not in the United States. I did have a choice in here that said taxes. What are these taxes you speak of? Unfortunately, I messed up, and it doesn't show up here, and it's kind of late to put it in now, but
yeah.
I apologize to everybody who is not from the United States, and you don't have a choice of your own. But you know what?
Poor
get over
Canadians
it.
Paying 18% sales tax with the GST and the PST.
Exactly. So far, we've had 94 people voting. 38% of you used an accountant. 32% used the tax prep program. 16% of you did it manually. A dozen of you used a random number generator.
See, my accountant uses the tax prep program, so what should I have picked?
Right. But you use the accountant. We're just talking one down the line. You know, we're not going to the ultimate source here. When you're done with that, head over to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And leave an opinion. Looks to me like we're actually done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I certainly want to thank Mr. Glenn Starchman, who's the CEO of Net Music. Check them out. Great music, great prices. It's all good. So go there and get some cool stuff. And we will be back here next week. With Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. And we'll be bringing you more news, views, stuff you can use. We'll be having more interviews and stuff, and a lot more of your phone calls on the greatest computer show in the known universe. And you know I'm talking about Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.